Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Just thank you for the refreshness of that. And so we praise you, Lord. And I just pray you, just your hand to be upon this service. We'd each hear from you in a special way, that, Lord, you would speak to us and give us insight that only can come from you. Pray you'd anoint me, that I just speak words of the Spirit, Lord. So we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Let me read that for you. It says 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, the message is entitled "The Journey." More specifically, it should be entitled "Our Journey." Okay, so we won't take it very personal. Our journey. This is about our journey. And as we learned last week, and some of the previous weeks, we learned that through all our difficulties, we have the Holy Spirit and the grace of God empowering us for the glory of God. So no matter what comes to us, we have the power of God to get through those. And God's made strong in those weaknesses. Now in James, we see that in our life journey, God is teaching us in these trials while at the same time giving us the desire and the power to deal with them. Now, there's a lot of like key words there, okay, when we look at this. Is it, okay, in our journey, so we're going through this journey, so God's teaching us. So all the time he's teaching us, but as he's teaching us, he is also giving us the power to deal with the things we're dealing with. So a lot of things, you ever been taught something, you know, somebody's teaching, and you have no clue, you know, or you don't have any power to do it. Say I had a bar, you know, 7 foot high here. So I can give you all the forms on high jumping. Okay, so okay, I know how. Now jump. Well, you think you can't do it. You know, so what he does, he goes, here's the form and here's how you do it. Now, here's the power to do it. I'm going to give you the power to do this. And so this is what we're seeing here. And this is when we look through Scripture, God is teaching us things. And so he's not just teaching us stuff. He says, yeah, here is the things, but here's the power to do it. So he's given us the whole picture. It's nothing. Can you imagine having a 7 foot bar? Says you jump that, you get the reward. Right there. Flat footed, jump that, go over that. You know, well, your life is a frustration, all right? Well, I think typically Christian life is a frustration for people. Here's the Christian life. Live it. Get it done. Nike commercial. Just do it. All right. Well, man, you know, this is tough. What God does, he says, no, I have, that's true. My principles are true, but I'm going to empower you to do these things. I'm going to empower you. So there's a twofold things he's teaching us. So here we have these difficulties, and God is going to teach us some things, and he's going to give us the power to do it. Now, here's something else, just kind of, and you've probably heard this phrase before, is things come at us in our journey. You ever have stuff just come at you in your life, you know, in your journey? See, all the things that come our way are sifted through the fingers of God. No, I don't think so. No, they are. What comes our way is sifted through the hands of God. So we're seeing this picture of what God is trying to tell us about what's going on around us and his involvement in it. So as a church, as believers, we have this perspective. And so we don't live in a world of random accidents. We don't. It's not a world of random accidents. God is moving. So therefore, we're back to this verse. Therefore, God says this. Therefore, we should face these trials with all joy. All God's people said, you got to be kidding. No, that's not. No, that was amen. All right. Amen. But see, and I always like to be transparent about this, you know. Of this verse, That's my biggest problem, the all joy part. You know, like, whoopee. Okay. So I'm just, you know, I can't even get to the rest of it here because I'm going to all joy issues. But the Lord is showing us something that we can count this for all joy, but he's telling us why. He's not only telling us why, he's telling us how. He's telling us how. So what we want to look at this is that, like, okay, God, what are you doing? What is this verse saying to us? What is he saying to us? First of all, when he says we need to count it all joy when we face various trials. So the stuff going on in your life now, the stuff that is for sure to come in your life in the future, all right? The stuff that came in your life in the past, okay? We're going to see why God says, oh, this is, you should count this as joy. And here is why. Here is why. The testing of our faith. Now, I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to people who've accepted Christ, all right? The testing of our faith. Now, notice what it says. The testing, these trials are a testing to our faith. And the testing of our faith produces, look at that word, it produces steadfastness. So it's like, oh, I'm going to teach you steadfastness, okay? It's a testing of your faith. Now, steadfastness is an easy word. I like that translation, steadfastness. But what it means is patience under pressure. Now, there's a word that the Bible uses is patience. You know, give us patience. We pray for patience. I want patience immediately. All right? So there is a word for patience. But what this is saying, steadfastness, is patience under pressure. So you have this pressure. You have this intense pressure coming upon you, and you're having patience under this pressure. That's steadfastness. All right? Stuff's going on. Stuff's going on, and you're having this patience while stuff is going on. And probably the stuff that's going on is going on to you. It's coming on you. And so have patience, steadfastness, okay? So this testing, these trials, this testing of our faith produces steadfastness, which God says, that's a good thing. Then it says this. We count it all joy. Why we count this all joy? Because this testing is producing steadfastness. Hip, hip, hooray. All right. Now, the next thing, what else is doing? It says, let it have its full effect. Now, see, that's almost kind of like he's telling us to cooperate with him. Let it have its full effect. You let this thing run its course. Let it have its full effect. The full effect of steadfastness or the full effect of patience under pressure leads us towards being perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. That's why we count it all joy. That we will be complete and perfect and lacking nothing. Now, everybody, that's good, isn't it? How are we getting there? The various trials. That's where it starts. And so God is going, that's good. He's trying to convince us that's good. But he's going, this is good. This is good. So here we have this picture of what God is telling us to count these trials is joy because stuff is happening in the heavens. Stuff is happening to us. And God is moving in our lives. And it is something which we're going to grow from and learn from. And the last part of this verse is very interesting. Lack nothing. Lack nothing. Oh, Lord, I just want everything you have. Really? Really? Okay, it's going to lack nothing. Okay, I'll give you just what you prayed for, you know. Now, so what I want to do with this verse, we think about it, that this is what God is telling us. Now, this is a word, and this is the reason you start, count it all joy, that we should be joyous about what God is doing, where we are going, and what is happening, because we have a good view of God. We look around like this, and we're not too happy, you know. We're not too happy with the folks around us. We're not too happy with the situation we're in. And so we get all bent out of shape. But God says, no, be happy with me and what I'm doing, and you're going to see a bigger picture of me moving in the world, and you're part of this. You're part of this. So what I want to do this morning, that was the introduction, by the way. That was what I want to do is I'm going to share three points here that as we look at our trials, as we look at these various trials, I want to look at three points that show how this leads us, to be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. It's important we grasp this. Okay, here are three points that we can learn, that we can embrace, that God is using, okay, that God is using to make us complete, perfect, lacking nothing. So you can see right away that God is moving us in step with where He is, in step with Jesus is. And He is the teacher. He is the teacher. Amen? This is fascinating, really fascinating. Okay, you ready for the three points? Now, I'm sure there's probably more, okay? But I want us to look at these three things, and we're trying to see from God's perspective what He's teaching us, from God's perspective. All right, number one, what does God do? Number one, muscle building. How are we going to be complete and perfect, lacking nothing? Muscle building. He's going to build these muscles up. He's going to build these spiritual muscles up, okay? He's not, here's this 7-foot bar, you know, I'm going to teach you how to jump it. I'm going to build these muscles up, and you're going to be able to do it. I've shown you what it is, but I'm going to build these muscles up so you can do it, okay? That's the kind of the physical picture. What I want us to look at, for this number one, a muscle building, so that we will be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:8. It says this. Now, this is Paul talking, all right? Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, all right? So Paul is kind of doing a pretty good job walking with Jesus, all right? I mean, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He's spreading the gospel. So Paul is pretty mature, I would think. So here is a lesson that God is teaching Paul. So if he's teaching Paul this lesson, I bet he will probably teach us this lesson, all right? And it says this. Paul goes this, says this. For we do not want you to be unaware. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Now, what is he saying? What is he saying? You know, I wanted to shoot myself. Well, probably not exactly like that. But he was saying, it's like, oh my God, I am so overwhelmed with this. The burden is so heavy. It's like, why am I living? Why am I alive? You know, God, what are you doing? That's how he felt. That's how Paul felt. Well, I can't believe a Christian would ever feel that way. Well, you just never had the opportunity. Paul did. You know, you may get it someday. You may have that opportunity. Like, God, why am I here? God, this is killing me. See? So there's an extreme that Paul went through. Why? I mean, I think if I wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, I think, hey, God, that's pretty good. Got a check mark for that one. A couple of blessings come my way. I'm happy. You know? Not being here, I am burdened beyond my strength. I'm just, Lord, I just don't know if I can live another moment. Take me home. That's what Paul said. See, it's muscle building. That's muscle building. Look at what the next verse says. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Paul continues. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. And done. Just done. One reason I'm making this point, because sometimes I can see, we ever deal with other believers and other people, and you say, oh, they're walking with the Lord, and man, I mean, they just tank, they feel like they're throwing in the towel, and they just feel like they can't go in another step. Well, they must not know Jesus well. No, they just took in through another depth of affliction, that God took him to another depth that they have to work through. In fact, they may not be showing their weakness, but they're, in fact, God sees their strength and is bringing them to another level. So we're going to sit around and judge them based on God honoring them. You see what I'm saying? Well, be real careful about that. When people are going through stuff, all right? Till you go through it. Well, why don't you just trust Jesus? All things work for good, you know. You see what I'm saying? Now here, so let's understand this. What's going through? 2 Corinthians 1:9. But indeed we felt and received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You got to be kidding me. This is Paul, sharing the gospel, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. I mean, he's kind of moving on his walk pretty good. And God says, you know, I want to take you deeper, Paul, so that you don't rely on yourself, but you will rely on God, Paul. Do you think Paul was relying on God before this happened? Do you think he was? Yes, he was. But God says, listen, I want to take you deeper. I'm going to take you deeper. See, it's a deepness that only God has aware of. We say, hey, I'm sailing pretty good. I'm doing good. Look, I tell Linda, look, I am doing good. You know? God goes, no, I think you need to go a little deeper. A little deeper. I see some areas you could probably work on. See, so he takes you a little deeper. But here's the point. Paul's saying that was to make us to rely not on ourselves, but on God. That's muscle building. That's spiritual muscle building. And see, as soon as we think we're there, he says, let me just take you another step. Oh, God, you're killing me. Immediately is what I say. You see what I'm saying? So God goes, he keeps pressing. So, okay, number one. This is the number one. Here's a summary of it. All right, let's start. Our journey teaches us not to rely on ourselves, but rely on God. Number one, every single believer, whatever situation you're in, no matter what, across the board, God, what are you doing? Number one thing he is doing is teaching you not to rely on yourself, but to rely on God. And that has to put you in a situation that's impossible for you to handle it. Because if it's not impossible for you to handle it, then you will do it and then you'll take the credit. So it has to be impossible. It has to be through your weakness. It has to be overwhelming. So then we say, God, you're the only one getting me out of this. And he brings out and he said, praise Jesus. Your eyes are totally focused on God. This is a principle. This explains a lot in the Christian life, a lot of what we're going through, and a lot of what God is teaching us right here. And the only one who knows this, the only one who sees this is God. He's the one that sees into our heart. He knows the very things we depend on. He knows the very things that our weaknesses are. He knows the very things we're holding on to. And he is the one that enters in and deals with it. It's us teaching us muscle. He's building our muscles, spiritual muscles. Hallelujah. Number two. Of what God is showing us in our trials. Number two. Perfect and complete. So we'll be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And I'll go back to the muscle building. Look at the words. So you may be perfect and complete. I mean, how's perfect perfect? I mean, perfect's perfect, like God's perfect. Oh my goodness. Couldn't you say sort of perfect? You know? No, he says perfect and complete. This is where I'm at. You won't lack a thing, and you rely on God, and you're going to move in the power of God. Now he goes on, he says, to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing, we need some schoolhouse training. You just need to sit down, to break open the book. You need some schoolhouse training. You need somebody looking over your shoulder. That's not right. This is what you're going to do. Hey, you may, if you act up, you're going to have to go into detention. Listen, this is how the things work. You need some schoolhouse training. There's some basic training go. And look at this. Hebrews 12:6. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives, son and daughter. Lord, why is this happening to me? I love you, I love you, I love you. Would you love on somebody else? I have enough for your love. I can take a lot of people I would rather you love. See, but that's the Lord disciplines one he loves. I love you, and so I want to move in you. He said, I can see what you can be. You can't see it, but I see what you can be, and I'm going to take you there. I am going to take you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And you're going to have to work at it. Things are going to have to fall by the wayside. You got things to learn. But I know where it is. And I'm taking you there because I love you. Hallelujah. That's what he sees. This is what God sees. This is what God sees. Now, so when we look at that he's doing this because he loves us. He loves us. And when we ask, why? Because he loves us. And he sees things no one else can see. And he sees in the depths of our heart. Now, let's just go on and look at Hebrews 12:11. So it just kind of moves on in this theme. And we can relate to this. Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Then all God's people said, amen. And this is killing me. This is painful. What? Let up. Where's the break? Where's the daylight? Please let up. It seems painful. It not only seems painful, it is painful, rather than pleasant. But look at this. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Key word there is trained. For those who have been trained by it. Now, this is all in context in Hebrews. I mean, I encourage you to go back and read that whole section. But so, why is it happening? He loves us. He sees what we can be. He knows it's painful. But he wants to see the peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who are trained. Now, here's something kind of the fine print on this. You can go through something and not be trained by it. Oh, here's this difficult situation. Here's this person that's really difficult to talk to. I'll resolve this. I'll never say another word to you as long as I live. Soon as that, no, I feel better. I can praise Jesus now. I have to deal with that person. See, I wasn't trained by that situation. I left that situation. So I didn't learn anything. I didn't learn one single thing from that situation. See? But when you go and there's a situation and it's difficult to deal with, and you step into that situation and try to work through it, see, what happens is you work through it. God will reveal things to you. He'll train you through it. He'll train you through it. All right? And it may not be resolvable, okay? Let the other person leave. Okay, I did the best I could. You kind of see why I'm getting that? But any all sorts of things, as you stay in them and as you persevere, you're trained by it. Now, something can happen and it falls apart, but you've persevered and you're trained by what you've done. You have learned, and then you can produce fruit from what you've learned. If you don't stay and are trained by it, you are doomed to repeat the same situation over and over and over again. You just repeat it. I ain't talking to you. This one may, I ain't talking to you either. After a while, this is me and Linda talking. You see what I'm saying? Because it's like, I don't like none of these people. Now, so the process of God says that if you remain in it, you'll be trained by it. Now, again, you're trying to learn everything you can from that. It may not be resolved the way you want it to, but you stick it out until you see what God is doing in this situation so that you can say, no, I learned, I came out of that, I'm smarter. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. I'll just pass this on to you. The situation, when God puts you in a situation and he means you to be trained by it. Now, how do I know this is a situation from God? And how do I know that God put me there? And how do I know God wants me to be trained to it? How do How did James open up? Count it all joy in all trials. You mean all like A-L-L? All? Or like some? No, it's all. So there's a lesson, a divine lesson in all trials. We are to learn. He's telling us this. Well, God didn't have any part of this. So I'm out of here. No, there's lessons to be learned. So you learn those lessons. And when you come out of that, then you're stronger. But here's the point I was going to make. When you're in a situation and you don't deal with the problem and you retreat and go over, God will give you the same type of problem, but bigger. It'll be bigger. If you have a boss that is terrible, and you say, I'm out of here, can't stand him, take a hike, you leave, God will be faithful and give you a worse boss later on. He will be worse. How can that be? Because God is involved in it. He is worried. He is concerned about you and your behavior. Your behavior. You see what I'm saying? God is telling us something we would not otherwise know. We would not otherwise know. So whatever situation it is, we want to be trained by it. How are we trained? We're learning what God has to teach us, and we take it to the end. Therefore, and so here's the second point. Second point in our training as we face trials. The second point, our journey trains us to produce the fruit of righteousness. Our journey teaches us, I'm going to say, produce fruit. It trains us to produce fruit, okay, of righteousness, good fruit, all right? But that's what our life does. And as you go through this, and you see people who have gone through these trials and are trained by them, all of a sudden you can see they produce a righteousness and produce a wisdom that is really attractive. But they got there. They got there by dealing with the situations God brought across their path. Amen? That's right there. There's a low amen on that one. There's a grunt. Oh, amen. It's like, so here's what, but so the Lord is, the point of it is, this is, here's the situation. This is happening. It's happening, period. It's just happening. But what this is doing is help us to understand what that is, and then we can cooperate with God and embrace it and grow through it instead of fighting it all the way. Because it is happening. It is happening. Amen? All right. So that's number two. Number two, our journey trains us. Now, and when I talk about our Christian journey, our whole walk, all sorts of stuff, our journey trains us to produce the fruit of righteousness. Okay, number three. Number three, battlefield experience. Battlefield experience. Okay, we want to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here's some battlefield experience. So, I'm going to confess that I've actually felt guilty about this. I've said it two or three times. I kind of get up here and I will kind of flippantly knock seminaries and I'll knock, academics. I do that. I'm sure you have noticed. And so I want to be honest with you. I refer, and I have a lot of commentaries, and I have people I refer to that are academics and theologians, and I really appreciate them. People are brilliant. The issue that I don't quietly adequately express is that if you just leave it in the academics with no experience, it just becomes useless. Okay, so you have to bring it from the academics. You have to bring theology to something out of a professor in a classroom where you have it in real life people living it out and making it work and seeing it work. And so that's one of the reasons that I will say those things flippantly, and I probably shouldn't do that because I really do honor these people. But the point of it is, because there needs to be, for this to work, for the Christian life to work, there needs to be battlefield experience. You're in it. It works. I know this works because I memorized more verses than anybody else. No, I want to talk to the guy that, I've lived through it. I've met with Christ and the supernatural power of Christ has worked through me. That's the one I want to talk to. See, because there's that battlefield experience. Now, and so here we have in 1 Peter 5:8, he's telling us that in this thing, we're taught through battlefield experience. That's the reason we go through stuff. That's the reason we're not raised in a classroom. All right? That's the reason we're put in all sorts of circumstances, because there is a battlefield of experience of learning how to practice these things, how to work these things out with other people. Yeah? I mean, now, I just had a thought, and it wasn't inspired. And I take that, receive from the Lord, and keep that to myself. All right, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now listen, look at what this says. Be watchful, be sober-minded. Your adversary... this guy's not on your side. In your various trials and the various things you're going through, this guy is not on your side. He is your adversary working it against you. You know, you're dealing with somebody, it's enough of a problem, but you have an adversary proactively working it against you. That's what this is. Your adversary, the devil, and he's prowling around, what? For someone to devour. He wants to kill you. Jesus says, the devil seeks to destroy you. He is a liar, and he seeks to, that's what Jesus said. He is actively working to destroy. He is a spiritual being working in the world, and he has demonic minions, all right, working within the world to actively cause problems. I have said many times, says we don't want to give the devil too much credit. I'm at this point now, it's like, I don't give the devil enough credit. I don't give him enough credit because he wants to destroy your life. And so because he is spiritual, he has spiritual insight, he's not deity, he's not God, but he is spiritual, and so he has insight. He has spiritual insight about you, about what you do. He can speak things into you, whisper things into your ear that'll just break your heart. You know why? Because he knows what will break your heart. So he'll whisper it. See, you can get in an argument with somebody, you know, and that's an argument. He can whisper in your ear something that person, you think that person intended, that they didn't intend. But it will be so real to you, it'll make it worse. Or even worse, he can whisper it into the person who's attacking you, into their ear, and they'll say something extremely hurtful. See? Beyond them. See? So, and he is like, okay, I want the destruction of you. He's working to destroy us. And so we need to have an understanding that this is happening. I'm going to share this with you. There was a situation I got. This was 20 years ago. You can't imagine me getting crossways with anybody, but I did. I mean, got crossways with this person. And you know, any of you have these like deep, you know, weaknesses, these deep fears, you know, like nobody knows but you. You don't tell anybody. And what this guy did, he came up and he spoke about the deepest fears of my heart. He spoke it. I mean, he spoke. It was amazing. Nobody knew. Maybe Linda. Nobody knew these fears that I had. And he spoke it and hit the nail on the head. It was really destructive. And I thought, and I talked to Linda. I said, how that was so hurtful for him to do that. How did he do that? How would he know that? And she told me, she says, well, the only one who would know that is the devil. And he whispered it, and he repeated it. Now, this guy wasn't demon-possessed or anything, but he heard a word. And the devil was the only one that would have known that. And the devil knew it was a thing to get to me, and so he had someone else speak it. The person didn't know it. Now, why am I saying this? The devil is seeking out to destroy you. He knows your deepest weakness. He does. And the reason is, like if I just, you know, I said, you're a teapot. You know, it's like, I'm not a teapot. You're nuts. See, so you're not going to say that. But what he does, he'll say something that is true that you believe, and then he'll say it. And you go, that's true. See, it's true because he knows it's true. And then it hurts, see, like that. But it was the devil behind that. We need to realize that there is a demonic force in this world, and we need to, and what does it say here? Be sober-minded, be watchful. Okay, that's, well, something that's bigger than us. Therefore, you persevere, you persevere. Look at 1 Peter 5:9. Here it says, resist him, firm in your faith. Now, what is your faith? What has God told you? What has God told you? You're firm in your faith. What has God told you? Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. Well, it's not. What about everybody in the whole world and all these billions of people? No, that's not who he's interested in. He's interested in the brotherhood, the sisterhood. He can marshal his forces. See, the church, the church is the one he's repelled by. The church is the one he attacks. See, so he wants to destroy. He's prowling around to what? Destroy what? The church, the believers, the family. All right, and he knows what's going on. And he's a spiritual being. He's a spiritual being. Division. Division comes from the evil one. Rebellion comes from the evil one. See? He cherishes rebellion and division because he'll just work in those things, you know. And what he does to work in, he'll convince us we're right. Nothing. There's no problem being rebellious if I'm right, you know, or divisive if I'm right. See, he works in those things. You see the subtleties. The point I'm making out is the subtlety. But it's like, no, we see this. We resist it. We're going to stand firm in our faith. And we know the brotherhood. He's attacking the brotherhood. So we have a view of what's going. We see what's going on. Now, so we are aware of what's going on. We're aware of what's happening. Now look at 1 Peter 5:10. You notice this is going 5:8, 5:9, 5:10. We just flow. There's a flow here. Then it says this in the battlefield. This is the battlefield. And after you have suffered a little while, gosh, you know, I mean, why? After you run around the track waving your flag and say, we won, that's not what it says. No, it's like, no, this is, there's a foothold, and there's going to be some problems come up. It's going to be difficult. This is going to be difficult. Ties into the rest of it. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So you resist, and you know what's going on there. Okay, God, so you're standing up based on what God has shown you. But here's something now. You can't take the devil one-on-one. You can't take demons one-on-one. You can't take spiritual evil one-on-one. But you stand up based on what God has shown you. And as you stand up, depending on God, based on what God has told you, you stand strong and applying the other things. And as you move through these difficult situations, it says this, God himself will restore. God is going, okay, you see this, you got this picture, you hang in there, you hang it, be steadfast, patience under pressure, hold on, let it have its full effect, hold on, and I'll move in. He loses. But we got to be steadfast. You see what I'm saying? The thing, here's how we miss our training, and this is how we miss our blessing. And it's all on us. All on us. Why? We quit. We quit. That's how. And Satan's go, got that one. I got that one. See, we quit. And God's saying, this is, you have to, because I myself will move in. So it's a great one there. Great for we understand it. So here's number three that we understand. Number three, going through the various trials. Our journey. Now, that's it. Our journey, all of us. No one's exempt. Are you in the brotherhood and sisterhood of Christ? Welcome, okay, welcome. Our journey strengthens us through real spiritual battles, resulting in God himself establishing us. We go through a battle, God establishes us. We go through another battle, God establishes us again. And after a while, we grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's more difficult for the devil to deal with us because God himself steps in and establishes. How do we know God himself will do that. How? Faith. That's the reason it's believers. That's the reason believers understand. That's the believers are mature and strong, stand strong. That's the reason believers are trained by things and don't quit, okay? Because as they're trained by, they learn. They learn. And they learn to rely on God. They learn the lessons. And it has its full effect, patience under pressure, patience, and then it says you become complete, perfect, lacking nothing. Satan goes, I can't do nothing with them. And we're hearing God and moving on what God says. That's where we're going. Now remind us what we said last week. See if somebody remembers. In our spiritual growth, what is the goal in our spiritual growth? Wait, the process. Remember last week? What is the goal in our spiritual? It's the process. See? It's like, it's the growth. It's the growth. It's the process is the goal. We don't ever say, and I use this again just to drive home the point. Me and Jesus, doing great. I made it. I have arrived. Yeah, and right. I mean, you can't even hold a straight face. No one, you know, you can't. Because it's nuts. Because arriving is not the goal. The process is the goal. I am moving in this direction so that God will make me complete and perfect, lacking nothing. And it's the process. The process is the goal. We're constantly growing in that situation. That's the church. And that's how we grow within Christ. Now we go back to how we started off. Count it all joy when you go through various trials. See? God says, because I am moving. I am moving. And that is a joy. And we wrap it up with this. How do we know we're on the right road in the journey? That's important. You ever been on the journey on the wrong road? All right. Now, how do we know we're on the right road? Well, here's how we know we're on the right road. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, when we trust on Jesus, he knew no sin. He became sin. He became our sin as a substitute for us. We are totally forgiven before him. He goes, hallelujah, you're mine, you're cleansed. Now I love you so much. I love you so much. We want to do some walking and talking and training and moving forward. And I'm going to bring life at you. I'm going to bring life at you. And that's what you're going to have to deal with. That's going to be how you learn. That's going to be how you grow, because I'm going to bring life at you. But you can do it, because I'm going to give you the power, the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit. But you got to stay in there. You got to stay there. I'm going to teach you in every situation you're in. Learn from it. Learn from it. Do not quit. Do not quit. When we stand up, praise Jesus, and we count joy. Joy. Just like the miserable situation you're right now, you can say, hallelujah. We got joy. That's a joy from God. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy because God is working, because God loves us. It's joy like that. And if you say it enough, I may be able to join in with you. Okay. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you. It's incomprehensible to me that you love us so much that you move into every situation to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, that we can stand strong with you. And we thank you that you are taking care of all things. And when you say, you yourself will move in and establish us, we just need to look at you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the people you've brought around us. We thank you for all the things you've taught us through them. Lord, let us show your grace and mercy and light to them. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.